then the heavens reaches beyond the stars in the sky.
Room, there's a fish in there that I bought for the children. And we named it Joyful Sunrise. The children voted, and that's the name that they came up with, Joyful Sunrise. It was either Joyful Sunrise or the Blood of Christ, okay? So I let them vote, and those are the best two names. So we chose Joyful Sunrise. You know, is your faith something you're striving for? Or is it kind of like Joyful Sunrise, who I feed on average about 1.3 times a week, and yet he has survived for 3 years? Barely. Do you know how many times Annie literally was like, Joyful Sunrise is dead. And I was like, no, he's not. And I tapped on the glass, and he'd be like, and like kind of like twitch a little bit. It's like, see? And she's like, dude, you know, and you guys have seen the tank at times, you know, it's like a algae infestation in there. And it's sad, really, but, you know, that's his life, you know. How is your faith? Which one is it? Does it even matter? Should we fight? Is our faith something that we should be fighting for? Or is it something that we just kind of leave alone and it just grows? Like moss on a tree, you know, or some of the weeds in your backyard. Well, what is it? Well, let's see what the Word has to say about that. Let's see what God tells us in His Word. So we're going to continue in our series, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to actually read from the last part of that passage. Yejin, I think we have technical difficulties. If you could go to the next slide. It's been freezing a lot, so I'm going to read it to you guys from here until Yejin can take care of it. If not, it's not a big deal either. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, you can look it up. I'll give you guys a few seconds to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. If you don't, you can also look at it on the screen. Okay, it's not up right now, but all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Thank you. All right. I'll read. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul says that if an athlete is willing to discipline his body for a competition in order to win a race, how much more should we be willing to control ourselves to, you know, really live in a way that might be hard at times, but, you know, to strive for something that's so much greater? He says that person, an athlete, or anybody, you know, who's just trying to perfect his craft, right? Someone who's trying to really excel in the business world, or, you know, their studies, whatever it may be, right? And advancing their career. Yeah, these are great things. And we should see people striving and working hard. That's very normal. When you see someone like that, that's admirable. And Paul's saying, yeah, you're right. How much more then should we be dedicated to our faith, our relationship with God? You know, how much more should we be willing to sacrifice and commit and work and fight? You know, maybe a good illustration of what Paul's talking about. You guys all know this guy. This is my man, my good friend here, Black Mamba, a.k.a. Kobe Bryant, all right? My favorite basketball player of all time. I play just like him, but not as good. He is known for his dedication off the court. Love him or hate him, he's known for his hard work, his work ethic. All right, let me read you guys a quote. Kevin Durant, another very good basketball player. Okay, I know some of you guys don't know basketball, but Paul's using, you know, this sports language, so I think it's really relevant. And also, I'm sure most of you guys know who Kobe Bryant is, right? Please, does anyone not know who Kobe Bryant is? It's okay if you don't. We're just going to have to talk afterwards, and I'm going to give you a lesson on who the Black Mamba is. right? 81 points in one game. 5 rings. Best player, right, Edward? Yes. All right. Let me read Kevin Durant's quote, okay? I've learned more from just watching him, trying to figure out, why is he like this? It took me a long time to figure out who he is by just watching him. We talked a lot, but I like to keep those things between him and me. For the most part, watching him every single day, how he approached being an Olympian. I remember one time after my first year in the league, we had Olympic trials in Vegas. We had a day off, and that's when the young players and Olympians were all together. They had 2 buses ready for guys to go work out. Me and Jeff Green were the only 2 on the first bus, and right when it was about to leave, we see Kobe walking in by himself when everyone else took the day off. We worked out on one end, and he worked out on the other. He made 50 shots at each spot around the 3-point line. That's a lot. It takes a long time to make 50 from 7 spots on the 3-point line. That's 350 shots. Just dripping in sweat. We just looked down there and said, man, he's the best player in the league. And he took a bus to a high school gym to get some work in. He's old school. And that's exactly what I want to be like. Is this story weird? Is anyone here like, what? Who would ever want to be like that? No, all of us, there's something in us that's like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, I don't even like Kobe, but I respect that. Man, that work ethic, that devotion, that commitment. You know, Kobe works so hard at his craft. This is what Paul's talking about. He says, yeah, you guys know, this is what people do. When they have like a goal, when they find something good to live for, to work for, it's honorable and it's good to really work at it, to fight for it, to be dedicated to it. We know this. This is something that's very relevant to us. And once again, I would just say, how much more should we be willing then to commit ourselves to following God, sacrificing things? Do you think Kobe didn't sacrifice things? Do you think that athletes who are really trying to make it don't give up things? They don't give up sleep, you know, time to hang out. There's a cost. Anything that you want to do, you know, you know that there's a cost. There's a sacrifice. You know, one thing I really admire are people who have really strict, like, diet habits and workout schedules. It's like no matter what, they eat the right food. They really try hard. They sleep on time. Even if their friends want to go hang out, it's like, no, I have to take care of my body. And I really respect that. I see people like that. I'm like, dang, like Kevin Durant, I'm like, I want to be like you. That's really admirable. But for whatever reason, I feel like that reality doesn't translate to our faith. We don't even think about our faith we don't see our faith through that lens, or we don't think about our faith in those terms. And you know what? Right now, it may sound like I'm primarily talking to people who would say that, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I'm really like, you know, this is what I should be doing. I know that there are some of you in here who maybe are having questions still, or maybe straight up you're just not a Christian. That's fine. Welcome. Please stay here and listen. Thank you for being here. And guess what? I don't judge you. All right, I'm not here to like, you know, who's a Christian, who's not. You're not a Christian? Oh my gosh, get out of here. No, this is a place for all of us to be learning and growing. I know that some of you guys are like, well, I'm not even a Christian, okay? Even so, I want you to listen because this is relevant to you. So I want you to know what being a Christian's about. And that is what being a Christian is about. It's about really having that mindset, making that decision where you're like, God, I am so thankful to you. I love you so much. I'm so in awe of what you've done for me and who you are that you now, I choose that you are the center of my life. You know, what basketball might be to Kobe, I want that my life to kind of look like that, but in relation to you, in my love for you, in my obedience and devotion to you. That's what it should be to be a Christian. And it's not about just rules and religion. Though that's something I want you guys to get straight. You know, I don't think Paul is saying, so you have to work hard to earn God's love, or you have to do a bunch of things so that you're a Christian. That's not the illustration he gives. He doesn't give an illustration of a worker who has to do a lot of tasks before he can go home, or else he will not get paid per se, or someone who's going to get punished if he doesn't do what he has to do. That's not the case. He gives an illustration of someone who wants something. He has made the choice. He has a desire. He wants to win the race, or a fighter who wants to win the fight. It's a goal that he has. He has decided, I want this. And that's really what it is. It's not just about rules or religion, okay? It's not about how good are you following the rules. It's not what Christianity is. I know this is kind of cliche by now. You've probably heard this a lot, but it's so true. And I want you to hear it again. This is Rick Warren. I like his quote. Salvation is not a religion. It's not rules or regulations or rituals. Salvation is a relationship. That relationship doesn't begin when you get to heaven. It begins here on earth. It's a salvation is there. That's what being a Christian is. Right? It should look like people who, because they believe in God and what he's done, they say, God, I want to make you the center of my life. And actually, even more simple than that, it's just, I want to love you. And I don't know if you guys know this. I hope you do. You all do, actually. Love requires commitment. Love requires sacrifice. Love requires working at it and fighting for it. That's love. And you all know that. If that's not in there, it's not love. It's just convenience. Or it's just a temporary fling. It's just infatuation. That's not love. You all know this. Because you watch a movie, and it's almost always about love, at least to a certain extent. There's some kind of love story in there. And what makes a love story, what makes it provocative to you, what makes it appealing, is when a person's fighting for it. When a person's working at it. You know, how boring would Korean dramas be if, you know, the guy comes in, he's the main character, and then the girl walks in, he's like, I love you. And she's like, oh, I also love you. All right, well, there you go. You know, like, that's not ever how it is. There's a conflict. A guy works out his love. And no one's like, what? Why is he doing stuff? I thought love is free. No, love, God's love for us is free. But for us to love God, that means we do something. You don't just say, I hope no one wants this, that your spouse or your future spouse only says, I love you. Hey, I love you. And does nothing to show that he or she loves you. That's not love, is it? I hope you guys know that. That's not love, okay? I'm not saying it's nothing to say that you love somebody. For some people, it's really hard to say, I love you, right? And it's good, but that's the point. Even that is doing something. Loving is about actually acting and living something out. It manifests. The words manifest in our life, right? That's what love is. That's what you guys want from your friends, your family, anyone you care about. You want them to actually love you and to do something about it. We understand this. Once again, for whatever reason, when it comes to our relationship with God, it's like all that language and all these ideas which we are so familiar with, they just fly out the window. And our love is this abstract thing that we would never accept from somebody. God, I love you. I mean, I just say it, but, you know, I don't really love you. And it's only okay with God for whatever reason. But I would argue that that's the one person that it should not be okay with. The most, right? And you know, that's what it is. It's not religion. It's not just doing things. It's about loving God. And that's where evangelism changes. You know, evangelism should be, this is what I think it should be, the heart of evangelism. Isn't just going around and saying, hey, let me give me 5 minutes of your time. Let me just say these words that I've been trained to say. That's not what evangelism should be. You have to say something. Yes, you do. You have to share the gospel to people. But I hope that it's because they see your life and they're like, you know what? I see how you live. And by the way that you live, I see that there's this invisible being or thing that you call God or Jesus. And I cannot see this person, but by the way you live, by the way you talk, by the life choices you make, you know, so on and so forth, by your demeanor, by just, you know, our conversations together, I sense that whoever this thing or this being is really good. Whether he exists or not, I look at your life and I see that you really love that God thing, that Jesus person? Shouldn't people see that when they look at our lives? And so I hope then that evangelism, how cool would it be, guys, if evangelism isn't like, all right, I got to say something to somebody because I should evangelize, but it's answering this great question: who is it that you love and why do you love him? I don't know him. I don't know his name. I don't know why you love him. I haven't heard the gospel. I don't read the Bible. But you really seem to love this invisible being. Like, I can actually see it. It's not just that you say it. I can't see this person, but I can see the effects of him on your life. That's what God wants. God doesn't just want people following rules or just trying to be good people. He wants an actual relationship with us where we love him. And people that they would actually see that and see God through that. You know, I was told a story. Nina told me this story. You know, she talked about being at a social gathering of some sort. I think it was for school, something for work. And there was this kid there that she met. And, you know, the kid's name was like Jimmy or something like that. I don't know. Jimmy sounds cute. Right? So Jimmy comes up, you know, he's with his mom, and Nina says to Jimmy, "Hey, Jimmy, how are you?" And Jimmy, or "What's your name?" Like, you know, she introduces herself, and Jimmy looks at Nina and says, "Hi, my name's Jimmy." And he points to his mom and says, "This is my mom. She's the most beautiful person in the world." And Nina was taken aback. She was blown away because the way this kid said it, and later she talked to the parents, and because the mom was kind of embarrassed when he said that. You know, she wasn't like, "Here, I'll give you candy if you go around telling people I'm the most beautiful person in the world." He like just said it. And she found out that the reason he said it was because at home, his dad would say that so often to his mom. And not only would he say that, but the way that his dad treated his mom made this young child learn that my mom is so, so beautiful and so wonderful. These kids don't know what beauty is. Did you guys realize that? You know, we're taught these things. When you watch TV, and there's all these messages that are coming into our mind, we learn what is beautiful, what's attractive, okay? You know, the way that people treat other kids, we learn. Kids are really smart. The human brain is like the fastest and, you know, most wonderful computer, you know, ever created, all right? It's remarkable. You know, kids pick up things. You know, you do something, all of you do something that's really terrible, and you need to stop. But you treat cuter kids better than you treat the not-so-cute kids. You know you do that. And guess what? Kids notice that. And they learn, something about the way that person looks is attractive. You internalize these things. That kid at home saw the way that his dad treated his mom, and he said, my mom is so beautiful. That's what he learned. Do people look at your life? Do people look at our lives? And can they look at our lives and say, "Man, I don't know this thing or this being or person, but he must be beautiful. God is beautiful. God is good. I don't even know if he exists, but God is good. I don't know if I want to believe him, but I can look at your life and I can see that this person who you're following, he takes care of you. He provides for you. He has compassion for you." Can they know that he is your heavenly father without you having to state, "He is my heavenly father," by seeing that you believe, by the way that you live your life, that you have someone who really cares for you like a father cares for his child? Do they look at your life and do they know that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, worthy of praise and honor, because they see the way that you honor him in your life, the way that you give him dignity and respect? Man, isn't that what being a Christian is about? That's what it is about. That's what faith is. And faith is not simply believing that somebody or something exists. In the Bible, that's not what God's talking about when he says have faith. John 3:16, you guys have heard this many times. "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall receive eternal life. Believes in him doesn't mean I believe that God exists, or it doesn't mean I believe that something happened. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe it happened. And God's like, yes, they believe it happened. Thank you. I'm so glad that you believe I exist. I'm so glad that you believe that I did things. Thank you. That's why I did everything. That's why I created you, so that you could believe that I exist. Now, obviously, believing in God's existence is a necessary premise to the conclusion of what belief really is. Yeah, believing in God the way that God wants us to believe in him or have faith in him, yeah, it presupposes his existence, of course. You have to start somewhere. I acknowledge that. And I know for a lot of us, it's even hard to believe that God exists, and I recognize that. But I want you guys to know that's not what Christianity is about. That's not why God made all of us. It's about the relationship of love. Believing him means, what he means is trusting him. Do you have trust in God? Do you entrust your life to him and say, God, I trust you because I know how good you are. I believe how good you are and how much you love me, so I trust you with my life. Does your life perfectly do all the things that I said? Those of you who, call yourself a Christian. Mine doesn't. You know, I can't say that, you know, my life is, you know, a perfect example of everything I shared. I can't say that. And I don't think any of us can. I don't think anyone in this world can. I don't think there's anyone who perfectly displays God in their lives and perfectly displays gratitude and love to God in their lives. I don't think there is such a person, okay? But this is the more important question then. Is just simply this. Do you even want that? I think that question is the question that God really asks. You know, and that's the question that determines, I think, maybe not the only question, but one of the important questions that really, and necessary questions, that determine whether you do believe in God or not. Whether you are a follower of Jesus or not. It's not, do you believe that something happened? It's not, do you believe that it was a pretty cool thing that happened and you don't mind receiving benefits from it? It's, do you really want God to be the center of your life? And so fighting for your relationship with him, sacrificing, committing, being dedicated, you know, to your relationship with him in the same way that you're dedicated and willing to sacrifice for anything else that's valuable in your life. Which is fine. God likes that. God made you like that. Do you want that? Is that even on your radar? That's the real question. If you're not a believer, if you have doubts or you're confused, you know, it's fine. But that's the question that you really need to answer one day. And that's the question that God cares about. It's not, are you going to follow all my rules? Or it's not, are you going to believe that something happened? It's, man, do you see how much I love you? Do you understand that now? And as a result, are you ready now to love me? Like with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's the question that God's asking. He's not saying, when are you going to stop partying? When are you going to stop spending your money? That's not the question. It's, I want your heart. When are you going to give me your heart? Do you see my love yet? Do you understand it yet? That's what being a Christian's about. It's being someone who understands God's love and understands what he's done for us. And so we say, that's God, what I want. What I want is to love you. What I want is to give you my life. I think that a lot of us in here probably would say that we do want it. But maybe we lose sight of this a lot. Maybe we forget that we want it. I think that's more common. We've forgotten, you know, our first love. We've forgotten why we're here. It's not that we say, I don't want that. No, it's like, I do. It's just, it's been hard. And that's good. That's fine. Or maybe we just have forgotten and you just need a reminder. You know, that's also fine. That's good. It's okay. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here, because I want to point you guys in the right direction. And I want you guys to point me in the right direction, right? If that's the case, then, you know, I'm just going to, you know, end. with just a few suggestions on maybe what you can do. What you can do about it. If you feel like, man, that is what I want. I've kind of lost sight of that. Or even if you're like, I don't want that, actually. And it's okay. It's okay if you are seen by all your friends and family as a Christian, but you're not a Christian. It's not okay as in like, I don't care, you know. Like, I don't care about you. It's like, it's okay. That's where you're at. It's reality. But think about it. Don't just hide from it. And that is the first thing I will say is when it comes to fighting for your faith, then first is just be real with yourself. Be real with yourself and be real with others. And especially when you're here and when you're in this community. I challenge you guys, look for opportunities to share and be like, yeah, I have been kind of, you know, missing the point or missing the mark. Or maybe even, it might be a little scary, but you can even say, honestly, I don't even want that. I don't want God to be the center of my life. I don't see a reason to fight for my faith. Be real with yourself. Talk to me. I'm not going to like yell at you or something. You know, I've realized something I didn't know before. This is something I learned from Hannah, you know, is that a lot of people think it's really weird to meet with a pastor. It's like, it means something's going to happen. You know, he's going to like try to like, you know, cast demons out of you or like, he's going to like, you know, he scolds you or something. That's not, and especially if you're not a Christian, why would I do that? You know, talk to me if you have questions. That's like a big part of my job. I'm literally paid to do that. So talk to me. Okay. Don't be afraid. Be real with yourself and be real with others. Secondly, when it comes to fighting for your faith, work on the fundamentals. You know, I think this goes for almost anything, right? Anything in life. The fundamentals are fundamental. You know, just they are the fundamentals, right? Stick to the fundamentals, okay? For those of you who, you know, are believers, and even if you're not, you know, read the Bible. Ask questions about the Bible. If you've prayed before, pray. Pray to God. If you're a Christian, do this regularly and intentionally in the same way that you would do, as I said again, anything else that you find is important. You know, I remember I had a great talk with this guy, and he's telling me about working out and how to find success as a, you know, person who's trying to, you know, become fit. And he said, dude, I watched this TED Talk. And the secret is you have to work into your schedule. It cannot be a negotiable. In the same way that school or going to class or for some people, not for everybody, but for a lot of people going to class or going to work, you don't question. You don't ever question, am I going to go to work today or not? Okay, I take that back. I'm sure a lot of you guys might do that. But it's not really a question. You know, you go. It's not a question. And he said, but with working out, it's always an option. That's what most people see working out. It's something you can do or not do. And he says, you have to not think of it that way. And I was like, yeah, that's great. He's like, Daniel, you have to do that. I said, okay, I'll try. I'll really try. But you promised me then that you'll take your relationship with God just like that. He was like, whoa. He never made the connection before until I told him. And it was weird because we had just been talking about it and he brought that up. And so I thought that's why he was bringing it up. But he literally just wanted to change the subject and tell me to work out more, you know? So I was like, no, man, you know, you try that. And he was like, whoa, I never even thought of it that way. And he was like, I'll think about it. I was like, oh, come on, dude. You know, like, where is that, like, disconnect? Anything else that we think is important? You know, it's like, all right, these are non-negotiables. When it comes to our relationship with God, everything is an option. Everything is just, you know, when I have time. You know, and once again, guys, I hope you understand. I'm not saying like, you know, quit your jobs and, you know, go to Sudan and just live there forever or go pray in a mountain for the rest of your life. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what God wants. God's a part of all of your life. But I am talking about intentionality. And I am talking about like the Bible is important and prayer is important. And I'm talking about like even just saying like, you know, before work, like for 20 minutes, I'm going to pray and read like, you know, half of a chapter or a paragraph. Even something like that, at least, doesn't that at least communicate that you like care? You know, that's what people always tell me. They're like, Daniel, just run like a quarter mile a day. Even just do that every day, though. And you know that that works. You know that consistency works and intentionality changes things, right? It's the same thing. Just stick to the fundamentals. There's nothing crazy. I'm not asking you guys to go like do something crazy for now. Just start, like, just make time every day and make it a non-negotiable. Do something. Put something into your schedule that shows that really shows that you do care, if you do care, right? And finally, you know, while you may start with the fundamentals, strive for excellence. The same way that we strive for excellence for anything else that we care about, strive for excellence when it comes with your faith in God, when it comes to loving Him. Don't strive for the bare minimum. That's not love. That's duty. That's like, okay, what do I have to do to get God off my case? That's not, God doesn't want that. Don't worry, you don't have to do anything because He doesn't want that. Right? God wants your love. He wants your heart. Strive for excellence. That's what love is. I hope that your spouse or your friend, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend or anyone that you care about never says to you, so what's the bare minimum that I have to do for you to just leave me alone and be pretty satisfied in our relationship? Like, you know, one date a week, two dates a week, you know, $50 a week, you know, one hangout a month. Like, just tell me the bare minimum. Like, I would feel so bad if someone asked me that. Right? That's not what anyone wants in their relationships. So strive for excellence. Don't put a limit. Don't be like, oh God, I don't ever want to give you too much. And finally, I'll just say this. Remember that God Himself, you know, God defines love. And the love that He showed us had fight in it, had a cost. God was dedicated and is dedicated. It's not like He just sits there and just asks for this. Whatever God asks for, it's usually because this is what He's shown to us. And He's saying, that's how I teach, that's what I've, this is the love that I've taught you. So please show me this love. I want that same love. And like I said, we all know that love has a cost. Love's not easy. Right? And so I pray that you guys will be able to translate these things, you know, into your life. The way that you work hard for anything that you value in life. I pray that it would make sense to you that the same should go for your relationship with God and your love for God. Right? And if there's some changes that you need to make in your life, adjustments, please do so. You know? Before I pray, I'm going to just say, last week we had a small discussion time at lunch, and I'd like to do the same thing. I know it was a little hard because I just kind of threw you guys out there, and I'm sorry, I do apologize for that. So you guys each have a sheet of paper, right? So whatever number you have on that piece of paper, that is the group that you are in. And so would you guys please sit at a table? You know, so if you're at one, then sit at the first table. Two, sit at the second table. And three, sit at the third table. And we should fit about just three tables. That should be enough for us. Okay? And there will be someone at each table who will ask the questions and facilitate so that you guys don't have to, like, you know, fight over who asked the questions. Okay? So I know everyone wants to do it. So sorry, only one person gets to do it. All right? Please do this because I have some questions for you guys. And just, it's a good time, just like I said, talk about things. Be real. When, like, for some of us, it's like, when else do we talk about, you know, these kind of things, which I hope are pretty important. Even if you don't believe in God, it's like, this is something you should at least think about, right? Even if you have questions and doubts, when else will you talk about those things? Isn't this a great time? And that's how I want this time to be. It's not like, you know, you don't have to feel like you have to pour out your life to people if you don't want to. You don't have to talk about stuff you don't want to talk about, but they're pretty straightforward questions just to kind of think about and kind of, you know, discuss what I shared. Okay? And I'm going to email you guys, or anyone who's in the email list at least will receive that once I just press send. All right? So I'm going to pray. Does anyone have any questions, or is like an issue? Like, is anyone really upset that they have to sit somewhere other than when they're used to? Okay, great. All right. Let me pray for us, and then we'll break up and go, you know, set up our tables and go out to lunch, okay?
Chairs.